Hey guys, welcome back. Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Trading Desk. I am Jason Main, and this is not Joshua Thanos.
Not Joshua Thanos.
Who do we have with us today?
John Callahan.
So John, as you guys I'm sure are aware, just wrapped up
your season two.
Yeah, season two of recording for
The Classroom, season two.
Very just successful. Wrapped. Season one did really well. I enjoyed watching it. Josh wasn't here. I thought, you know, who could I bring on the show? I know you expressed some interest in being on the shows more regularly, and I thought it would be a great fit. So
glad to be here.
Glad to have
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What's going on, guys, tonight? We look forward to some chat. We got a pretty cool show for you, I think, tonight. We're going to keep it quick, being that it's a long weekend. Our guys here getting ready to get out of here. So we'll roll right into wrist shots. Wrist shots are pretty traditional for us right off the bat.
Cool.
I'll go first. Let's see here. So I've been wearing this for today's a week. Last Friday, I bought this. It's my newest pickup. So this is the Oris 65 Diver in the green. 42 millimeter stainless steel automatic date. Pretty cool, like helix sapphire. Kind of looks like acrylic or Hessellite. But this is pretty good. I've been wearing it. It's comfortable. Very happy with the purchase. It's got a cool look to it. And this watch actually was on John's desk when I walked by and was like, oh man, I didn't even know we had one of those. And so, yeah,
well,
I kind of snagged it away from him.
Posted it on Instagram literally like 10 minutes before he grabbed it. And I love it. I mean, I think the watch is awesome.
Very happy with it,
If you haven't.
Good summer watch.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the 65 Divers from Oris, bunch of different colors, cool piece. Yeah,
yeah, there's also, just recently there were some special editions that were announced.
Yep.
There's a maroon dial. And I think a green dial with a gold bezel for different retailers. So
yeah,
those would
awesome.
Be cool to see. What are you
cool.
What are you wearing today?
So today, may be familiar, although may not. Our live show for season one, when we ended, I wore this. This is the Bell & Ross Heritage V126 Chrono. And this is their Heritage Line Pilot. I love this watch. I love what they've done with the Pilot collection. A little bit thick. So where are we going here? There we go. Gotcha. All right. So
yeah, that's the Golden Heritage, is it? The 126?
Yep. Let's see. There you go.
Very cool look. Very similar to the Oris with the Helix Crystal and kind of the vintage throwback flare, which is pretty predominant in the space right now.
Yep. And best part about this watch, kind of hard to pick up on camera, but if you do get a chance to see it, the gray dial. It's like a anthracite dial, super cool, good contrast, not in two tones, you know, it can be not for everybody, but I think it's really good looking.
Yeah, it's similar to the watch that Thanos has actually with the, but his is not the Golden Heritage, it's just a Heritage, but this is a chronograph obviously, but chrono and a date for the price point, like that watch is pretty good value for
it.
The
is
money.
Nice strap, everything's nice about it. I like it.
Awesome.
I like the way it fits. Cool piece. Yeah,
so for the first time, John's been introduced to the poll. Right, we have the poll in the comments. I'm hoping you guys vote. Neither one of us has voted yet, so usually Thanos has voted 9 times by now. But we're gonna roll right into the this or that. John picked first this week, so why don't you kind of tell us what your thought process was?
So I like watches that can really get you quality value, particularly at any given price point. So brand that I really like, Zenith. And so what I brought today was the Zenith El Primero annual calendar. It's the Windsor Captain Edition. Where are we going here? Zoom. Take a look at this guy. Love this. So this is your El Primero movement. And if you are at all familiar with the El Primero movement, it is one of the great all-time chronograph calibers produced most notably in the Zenith Daytonas, of course. Back shot of that. Yeah, get my hand out of the way there. Love it. So what I like about the watch, you get a annual calendar, which can be seen on the dial, chronograph, beautiful stark white dial, good size, 42 millimeters. It's about 14 millimeters thick. Tim has a video on it. You can check that out. Does an awesome review as always. But real simple, and one of the nice things about this watch and any Zenith El Primero, the way that the crown's set up, something people don't talk about, and that's when you can adjust the time, first position,
right.
Second position, set the calendar. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think the important thing here, you know, if you're going to vote for the Zenith, is bang for the buck.
Yep.
And so annual calendars alone for what is that, $5,500, $5,600 price point?
Yeah, so I mean, you could pick one up. I mean, this is a pre-owned piece that we have. Retail price on it is $9,500, which is still in stainless steel, great value for the money.
Annual calendar alone, that's worth the money. Then you're getting chronograph, and then on top of that, it's the El Primero movement, which is, if you're going to have one chronograph, you definitely want an El Primero.
I agree.
In my opinion, I love that movement. Yep. It's a handsome watch. It's, you know, some could argue it's a little busy, but Zeniths tend to have that kind of busier aesthetic to a dress watch. Plus, you are getting the chronograph, so there's really no way to avoid too much going on. But I like that watch quite a bit.
Yep.
It's a good size.
Cool piece.
Yeah, cool watch. So what I took was not so much, you know, tick for tack on complication, but the annual calendar side of it. And this is an annual calendar that I've always really been drawn to. It's a 44-millimeter case. Let me go ahead and zoom in on that. And this, you guys would recognize, is the IWC. This is the Portugueser annual calendar. And this particular one is IW503501. So they do have this, which I do prefer in the blue dial. John's seen the blue one. That one's really nice.
Yep.
This is the white or silvery cream dial. So 7-day power reserve indicator there at the 3 o'clock, running seconds at the 9. And then you have your month, day, and date at the top. I really, really have always liked this, the layout of this dial. Super clean, very functional. And for the money, I think this is a lot of bang for the buck from a very notable in-house manufacturer. Let me go ahead and flip this over, because part of the beauty of this watch is the case back here.
Yeah. Big movement.
Big movement, big rotor, signature rotor, just very, very well finished. And that's almost just as fun to watch from the back.
Yeah.
But deployment buckle, milled, for sub, you know, 12 to 13 grand, I think these are right around now. Fantastic watch for the money.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not paying retail, but annual calendar, power reserve indicator, 44 millimeter, relatively, I won't say thin watch, because it is pretty stout, but for what it is, and for it being an IWC, which tend to be thicker anyways, I think it's a very wearable watch. I actually wore that watch for about 3 hours today, and very comfortable.
I piggyback on that. Another good value, annual calendar.
Yeah.
Stainless steel.
Power reserve,
and it's a sleeper, because if you don't know.
Yeah. So annual calendar power reserve is not a very common overall complication. You usually don't see the two together. I always recommend that watch to guys that are like Panerai guys.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I only wear the Panerai, I only wear the 44 millimeter watches, but I need a dress watch. This is perfect because it sits the same way, it wears the same way, but it's elegant at the same time. So if you don't want to go 1940s case just to stay in Panerai, you want to branch out and try something else, highly recommend that. So let us know what you guys think. Obviously with the poll, and can we go ahead and pull up the poll for the first couple results? IWC at 64% for those of you listening on the podcast. John, did you know that we're a podcast now?
I now know that we are also a podcast.
So we got our first pretty exciting news, actually. We got our first results back. Apparently, we're pretty big in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
to our Canadian friends,
hello.
Yeah,
it was something like most downloaded hobby podcast in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
To our friends in Canada, thank you for downloading. And we're on iTunes, we're on Google. For those of you that can't see the poll, John is losing.
I am losing, but I would like to say...
Tons of comeback time.
Here's in both watches, I would own both. I've got this thing for Zeniths, man. I don't know about
you. Me too.
You
know what? I really like Zenith.
I do too.
There's probably, and just to be realistic, there's probably 5 or 6 Zeniths that I would pick before that.
Yeah.
That are on my hit list as is, but it is a handsome pick, and it's kind of cool that it's a Zenith you don't see a lot. I think it's kind of interesting that it reminds me of the Portuguese.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the combination. Again, I go back to the El Primero movement. Like, if I'm gonna get a chronograph, or if I'm in the market for a chronograph.
But that's like what's interesting is when you brought that to me, and you're like, "This is gonna be my pick."
Yep.
I was in my head. I'm like, that would be my pick if your pick was like a Portuguese chronograph, just a simple Portuguese, then I would go get an annual calendar value proposition.
Right.
But
right.
I didn't. I kind of made that conclusion, but then I was like, I want to do an annual calendar also. So hopefully everybody likes the picks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moving on. Let's see here. We got a bunch of stuff going on in the chat. We see our normal people. And then it looks like you guys are getting along just fine without us. JBO Surf, what's going on, man? Eric Nielsen, Matt Forrester's in there. David Dixon. See all you guys just chatting away. And all right. So last week we brought in this new segment. I thought it was kind of cool, pretty well received. It was a lot of fun putting it together. We got this pretty cool new graphic for it. So we'll roll right into that. And that was Buy, Sell, Trade. Right, so we all played this game growing up. It's a different title. It's not exactly very suitable for live YouTube TV. Right. So we all know what that game was, but this one is called Buy, Sell, Trade. Right, so very simple concept. If both of us owned all three of these watches from a trader's perspective, because that's what this show is about, you know, a trader's desk, from our perspective, what makes the most sense of these three watches to buy, sell, and trade based on value retention? So this week we have a couple watches. We're going to start with the buy, right? So the buy for this week is going to be, the theme was gold dress watches, right?
Gold dress watches.
Kind of, right now I say sell all of them, but no, all joking aside, there's a theme here. So the theme is modern dress watches, gold, okay? So the first one is going to be actually a watch I sold yesterday. Had a relatively long conversation with a regular client of mine, Dustin, who went ahead and pulled the trigger on this. So this is my buy for this week, and it's a Omega Aquaterra.
Goodbye, Dustin.
Yeah, solid buy.
Solid buy.
John actually came over to my desk yesterday when it was on my desk and was like, "Oof."
That's
yeah, solid watch. Yep. A lot of gold, right? And the cool thing is, and I was telling him this too. I took photos, sent it to him. It looks yellow when you try to take photos of it, but it really is this rich, handsome rose gold. But $35,000 retail, right? You can get them 18-ish pre-owned and like clean, like 2017 or 18s for around 18, 18.5, box, papers, everything. And you want to talk about bang for the buck, solid gold watch. I mean, a lot of gold.
Weighty.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's, you know, Omega's movements at this point, guys, we know the master coaxials. Probably one of the best movements in the industry.
Yep.
Like Omega's over engineering of their movements, they're second to none. I mean, they're fantastic. So to me, that's it's a day date as well, which is very, you know, comparable to our one of the watches we're going to talk about next. But I think this is the value conscious day date.
It 100% value conscious. If you're looking for a just a solid. Literally solid gold watch from a premier brand. Omega's got it in the Aquaterra line. I everything he said I agree with, and then just the line in general. If it's not even in gold, those are good pickups.
Yeah, that watch is awesome. In steel and the rubber band, those are awesome.
But absolute fire. Yeah, those are great pieces.
Actually, Andrew in our office has the best version of that.
Yep.
It's my favorite with the blue strap.
Blue strap, orange accents.
Yeah.
Good piece.
So, solid watch. Literally, like John was saying, solid gold. A lot of value retention for the money. Solid buy. And if you ever decide to sell it, you bought it at the right price. So,
that's right.
Feel bad for you if you walked into Omega and they told you no discount and you paid $35,000 for that. But if you're smart and you bought it the right way, I think you got years and years of having that watch for free or for very little loss. So the next watch in this category is going to be the sell version, right? And the sell is going to be the 116509. So white gold Daytona, specifically this blue dial version is my favorite iteration of this watch. I just took one of these in, so that will be, we'll have that a little bit later if you guys are interested. Fantastic watch, right? It's the Daytona arguably, you know, one of the most on fire watches that Rolex has in the lineup right now. We saw the stainless steel push up the market with the ceramic. Then we saw the gold pieces. Then we saw, you know, the platinums are up, you know, anything in Daytona, anything with a crown on it, really.
Yeah. Anything with a crown on it.
100%. The Daytona specifically, this is a huge value proposition, which, you know, Josh and I talk about a lot. Because if you're going to pay $22,000 for a steel watch, right? Why wouldn't you go pay $27, $28 for all white gold?
I'm with you. And you can get white gold versions on leather straps if you like leather straps. You can certainly go pick one up for similar money to what Dale Daytonas are running for now. And I like the variation you get in the white gold pieces. You know what I mean? Blue dial is the best dial. I second that. This configuration, if you haven't seen it, beautiful blue dial. Yeah, it's a good piece. Really good piece.
One of the cool things with the blue dial that I like a lot is it has those red accents.
Red accents,
which set it apart. And then in general, just I like either the, if you're going to go stainless steel, for me, I like the older Daytona, the pre-ceramic, the one just before it. Or I like the white golds because I prefer that bezel to the ceramic.
Right.
Just personally. I think it, you know, it's got that, that harkens back to that vintage Daytona look.
Yep.
Yeah, so cool watch, but because of, you know, not that we wouldn't keep it also, but if we're going to be forced to pick one for each of these categories, I think this watch being on fire right now is the pick for a sell.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Right. Yep.
All right. That's good time. Yeah.
It's more if you got it.
You want to go ahead and lead off with trade or?
Yeah. So for the trade piece.
Day-date.
So we got the Day-date 40. And, you know, in really any kind of configuration right now, I think is a good option. This one in the rose gold, what I like about it, and I think you can get really good value again in trade on this, specifically because the upgraded movement, if you're talking about the 228 reference, the upgraded version, I love it. In fact, I know that we have a couple even for sale right now, but it's a good piece to move into, trade into, or to trade out of. I like it as the I haven't always, admittedly, haven't always been a fan of the Day-dates. There's a lot of them out there, different sizes. 40's right size.
I think Rolex hit the nail on the head with resizing this watch to 40 millimeters, and it's just absolutely perfect. The Day-date 40, I'm not a big all gold watch fan. Mm-hmm. So Day-date 40 is admittedly, or any Day-date has always kind of been like the, I don't know about that type of watch. When they made the 40, put it on my wrist and it just makes all the sense. I mean, you feel like you're wearing $1 million.
Right.
It's probably, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a client the other day, and that's probably the cheapest watch that I can think of. And, you know, we use the term cheap loosely because of what we do.
Of course. Sense.
But for, you know, for $30,000, that's the cheapest watch I can think of that you feel like $1 million when you're wearing it.
It's
feel like you could rival the president of any company. You know, you have this, you could walk into a conference room and just demand $1 million worth of presents.
Right.
Wearing and, a $35,000.
And that's sort of that executive watch. I'll drop this guy on the side so it doesn't flip.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's the watch that, you know, you see boardrooms across America. What Rolex has done consistently over the years, they did it with the Daytona, is that they have the watches in the collection, but then they just improve it a little bit.
Well, that's really any Rolex.
Yeah, it's any Rolex,
and
exactly.
The thing, too, is like a lot of people, I think you really have to own a Rolex to understand a Rolex. I've said that before. I feel like people that hate on Rolex don't quite understand because they never want it. There's a reason why Rolex has the most patents of any watch company in the world, right? Yeah. There's a reason why they are who they are. And just because, I mean, there's a beauty to the fact that, like, my ceramic sub looks like every sub before it, but it's steadily improved over every generation. And that's the reason why it holds value. That's the reason why people want it, amongst other things, you know, business things like supply and demand and keeping the watch fresh. But, you know, there's a beauty to the simplicity of Rolex and the Daytona for me. You know, if we're going to do a poll or this or that of those three, this is my favorite watch, the Daytona. But I like anything that buys, sells, or trades. So I like all three of these watches.
All three good options. One last thing on that Day-date, the new 70-hour power reserve. Home run. Keep it up. Rolex doing big things with the new upgraded movements. Can't wait to see what they do in 2019. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
So, yeah, what do you guys think? Please, in the comments, in the chat, let us know, does that buy-sell trade match up with your thoughts? If you're going to do the same three watches, would you put it in a different order? Interesting is that when we were thinking about it, I kind of had it laid out in a different order, and then I thought about it for a minute, and then we agreed it probably should have been switched around. So I'm interested to see what you guys think. Going to the chat a little bit, I just kind of want to zoom in here. Looks like you guys are having crazy conversation. IWC for the win, Kyle K. Apparently, he likes that piece. No Thanos. People are upset. Josh is not here. Josh is not upset that he's not here.
He's not, and he shouldn't be.
I've spoken with him several times today. He's sent me many pictures of palm trees, and he's having the time of his life talking to you guys.
Right, so. And just so if when JT does watch this, I came here in a white shirt, and it's pouring rain, and it's freezing cold in here, but we're doing it for you. Love you, big guy. Have
currently
fun on vacation.
Not in a white shirt.
Yeah, so currently not in a white shirt. Yeah, exactly.
And may or may not have lost your phone.
May or may not have lost my phone, so... I know my cell phone number's up there. If you hit it up. Sorry, I can't get to you.
If you can't get John,
probably...
call me, and then
we'll
figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Couple things in the comments. IWCs are always a little too big. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on your preference, but they do make a couple 42 millimeters. There's some other stuff, too.
Yeah.
I think you're referring to the thickness, which...
Could be. Yeah.
You know, one of the great things about watches is there's millions of them, and there's something for everybody.
If you like a little bit more moderate size... completely different watch, Mark 18, 40 millimeter case.
Mark 18 is a cool watch.
Yeah, thinner profile, thinner case, smaller diameter, nice everyday watch.
Very cool. Going here, just a lot of conversations. Great Oris, I agree. I like the Oris a lot.
Kevin, yes.
Yeah, Kevin.
True.
Hello from the UK. Going through.
Hello from Philly.
RF2 Polar 1650 and the 3186, and I love it. Mike K, I agree. That's a cool watch. I love Explorer 2s. Kenny Rao, when are you getting your Explorer 2? That's a fantastic question. I don't know. How about that? You probably know before me. I've been waiting quite a while for
which
that watch.
Explorer 2?
42 millimeter white
are
dial.
You? Nice.
Yeah. Put the order in.
Oh, did you?
Waiting.
Awesome. Yeah.
Waiting quite a while. I will let you guys know. You will be the first ones to know. I'll wear it on a Friday. And that'll be a fun day.
Yeah, good.
Anything for you on the horizon?
No.
No?
No. At the moment, kids, guys. You know, two young kids, so.
He's on his way to a baseball team full of kids.
We're done.
No?
This is it.
All right. John is our resident dad of the office.
I'm the dad of the office,
yeah,
so. We, you know, keep everybody in check. Make sure we're all on our best behavior.
Fantastic. I think... just going through all these comments, you guys seem to be having a good conversation. I don't know. I think, what do you think? You got anything that you want to add to this, or should we call it? Or?
Well, what's going on? What, any action? What people coming in asking for specific watches? I know that I've had a lot of people asking about the new Tudors. It's going to be the Tudor 58. Black Bay 58 is going to be a very hard watch to get. I've probably taken a dozen calls in the last week on it alone, and
so,
that's
yeah,
not
to
including
your point,
our own
it's, which is base, it's true. Yeah. To your point, I sat here with Thanos and about two Fridays ago, and said that's the watch that's going to be the next watch that's hard to get.
Yep.
And it's true. If I get probably 2-3 calls a day asking if it's come out already, my understanding is we received a couple. And they went, there's a list already. They went really quickly, and we don't know when we're going to get the next shipment. Same thing that happened with the Black Bay GMTs, which were pretty sold through pretty quickly, and people are waiting for those as well. That watch is, you know, what's funny is I think Tudor may have had the most impressive release of the
100%.
Of the show.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I thought they had a awesome.
While the Black Bay
show,
is not my ideal color combination, because I have seen a few in person, they kind of missed the blue a little bit. It's very dark. It's way better, and I've said this too. To me, it's better than the steel Pepsi. It just hit the mark better. I don't really care for the watch. One of the things that I think is interesting is we're seeing a lot of root beers hit the market.
Yeah.
The two tones and the full golds. I've been offered a lot of them. They are shipping now. They're delivering, so you're not seeing the steel pieces, but a lot of guys are getting the root beers. And for whatever reason, trying to get out of them really quickly. And I think the market's moving on that piece. We're seeing, what's another thing? I've been seeing a lot of action on Datagraphs still. That watch was hot about a month ago. There was a lot of fluctuation in buying and trading. We talked about that on the show. Still seems to be the case. I'm getting a lot of calls and a lot of people on some Longue.
Yeah.
So Longue right now is starting
definitely.
To move.
Definitely.
So I think
it good.
Harkens to kind of a topic from a last episode or a couple episodes ago about looking for value in other places. Right? Yeah. And we talked about that, and John and I agree in many regards to that, where if your favorite watch brand can't supply what you want, maybe it's time to find a new favorite watch brand.
Right. Right.
You know, it's great. I can love Bugattis and Lamborghinis right. Everything. I can love those cars and see them for what they are and think, maybe I'll never have one, but maybe I will, but I still love them. But what's right for me and what can I go get now? And maybe it's not worth waiting 9 years on a list for a Daytona.
Might not be. And with the Longa collection datagraphs, we have a double split available. You don't see double splits.
Yeah,
we have some good, some of the best.
Really good Longa. I did want to clarify. Oh, so talking about Longa, I want to clarify from the last episode, because last episode we did a Paddock versus a Longa. And I said something to the effect that there was no Paddock, or there was a Paddock for every Longa that I preferred. And obviously, Longa makes watches that Paddock, like complications that Paddock doesn't make.
Right.
Right, they make like the triple split. They make the, the Zeitwerk. They
yep.
make watches. So, I don't want to say take me for what I meant and not what I said, but what I meant was that there's very little instances where I would take a Longa over a Paddock. Right, there's always going to be a Paddock that'll be on my hit list for the price range before
right.
the Longa.
Interesting.
So just for me, and I like the brand. I like Longa. I think they're great watches. They can just kind of come off a little bit cold for me sometimes, and I feel like if I'm spending that kind of money, I want something that's like endearing and something that I like fall in love with. And I've never stared a Longa in the face and said, "Wow, that's
really
that's fantastic."
See,
like
now,
they're just very cold. I know you like the brand a lot.
I love the brand. I love the way that they.
So let's say,
are laid out.
All right. So for argument's sake, between you and I,
yeah,
and you're pro Longa and pro Paddock. There's, let's say, five watches that you can have, right? That are in this price
yeah.
range. You're gonna tell me that like you couldn't fill that up with five Paddocks?
I could, but you know what I like? It's interesting. Like Chronos, 5170R versus a Datagraph. That's tough. If like
yeah.
a Datagraph and Rose Gold, I would opt for the Datagraph because of the movement.
Okay.
I love 5170R, by the way. I think it's one of the best underrated Chrono. If you're ever in the market for Chrono, get one. I think I would rather get a 1815 than most Calatravas. That's kind of
yeah.
probably yeah. And I think that's really where I would probably lean towards the Longa. The big problem with Longa, they don't have a steel sports watch. They don't have steel
that's
anything.
True.
And
they
if they
probably
did,
get on that.
Yeah,
but,
I'm telling that would next
Nautilus
level.
Looking or
hey, listen,
nah,
that,
listen.
That,
I hope
that
they come out with
works,
something
right?
that's completely of their own. And
agreed.
I would love nothing more to see them like really take that on and succeed, because you really can't.
Competition.
Yeah, I mean, unless you strive to compete, like you're never going to step up and prove that you are your own presence, you know. But yeah, a little clarification. I like Longa a lot. I just don't think I would ever own one before I owned a Paddock. That's all I was trying to say.
Fair
enough.
But
all right, I think that's it for tonight, guys. We're gonna go ahead and kill it. We got a long weekend. We are not in office on Monday, so do not call me. But you could text.
Text.
Jason, John, Friday, we're going to go ahead and cut it.
Happy Labor Day.